Go to 1 Timothy chapter 2. It's been a couple of weeks of change, huh? We've had a new president. It's kind of hit the ground running, so to speak. A lot of change is happening fast. Now, whether or not you agree with the changes or the man making them, God's instructions for us don't change, do they? He's steadfast, and he is bigger than any one man or one government or one nation or one world. And his will for us doesn't really change. You know, we're Christians. We have Holy Spirit within us. We have purpose. God has a purpose for each one of us, each one of you. And that purpose, you know, I mean, your path may go here and there, but God has this ultimate purpose. He has a way he wants you to get there, and he wants to use you along the way. And it really doesn't matter what's going on governmentally or socially or culturally or any other Lee that you could throw out there. We have a purpose. And so here we have, you know, I call it one God, one mediator off the verses that I had Dan read earlier. But it's kind of this passage, chapter 2 of 1 Timothy 1 through 7, it just kind of lays out some things that we're supposed to do regardless of what's going on, regardless of climate, culture, whatever. Some things, and I think some of these things we do better than others. And so this is kind of a reminder message or whatever, or maybe a refocus message, something like that. But we're going to look at God's will for us as we live in this present world. So I'm going to read these first seven verses of 1 Timothy chapter 2. Paul says, "First of all, then, I urge that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for everyone, for kings and all those who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. This is good, and it pleases God our Savior, who wants everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and one mediator between God and humanity, Christ Jesus, himself human, who gave himself a ransom for all, a testimony at the proper time. For this I was appointed a herald, an apostle. I am telling the truth, I am not lying, and a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth." And so here we have in this, I have 5 points on your outline that for you to fill in and hopefully keep your attention and give you something to do during the message. But first of all, in verse 1, we're to pray for all. Pray for all. First of all, then, I urge that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for everyone. Everyone. And he's got 4 things in here that, you know, bears looking at. First of all, it says petitions. And that, another word in your Bible, another translation, it may say supplication. Okay? It literally means to beg. It means to beg. You ever been in a position where you're just kind of begging God? Just, you know, something's going on and, you know, and it's just either very disturbing to you or very heartfelt to you or just, you know, just something that's overwhelming you. And you just beg, God, please. That's a supplication. That's a petition. And we're to do that on behalf of others. You know, it's real easy, isn't it, to get selfish with our prayers. It's real easy to focus on me, because I'm the one that's going through what I'm going through. And I know more about me than I know about anyone else. And it can get really easy to be self-focused. And God says, you know, you need to pray in this manner for everyone. When you find someone that's really going through a hard time, you know, beg to God on their behalf. Beg to God on their behalf. And I wonder how often we really do that. How often do we really get broken for someone? And he says prayer, petitions and prayers. And it's a little bit different. I mean, you know, all prayers, you know, anytime you're going to God for whatever, you know, it's still prayer. But there's these little nuances with these words that, you know, it's a little different. You know, it's different to beg than it is to worship. But you can pray and worship and you can pray and beg, right? But it's all prayer. And that's really what this is, this word prayer, it's to pray earnestly for, kind of in the sense of worship. And so you're acknowledging while you're praying this prayer, whether it be for yourself or for someone else, that you're acknowledging the sovereignty of God, the holiness of God, the justice of God, the grace and the mercy of God. And you're almost in worship as you're going before God with this petition. And I wonder how often we really pray with a sense of worship, with a sense of awe as we go before the God of the universe. Then he has this word intercessions, which is seeking the presence and hearing of God on behalf of others. You know, you're interceding. You know, even as, you know, we were in a membership class this morning, we briefly touched on this, that the Holy Spirit is making intercession for us. And isn't it comforting to know that you have Jesus interceding for us and the Holy Spirit goes to God on our behalf, God the Father on our behalf? Have you ever gotten there, you know, in that point where, you know, we talked a little bit about that this morning, where you're just so distraught, you don't even have any words now. You know, it's just been so hard or it's been so overwhelming that you've got this pent-up emotion. You have these things going on within you. And you kind of go before God, and you know you should pray to Him. And it's like you don't have words. And you just kind of, you know? And you know the Holy Spirit interprets that. And He knows exactly what you're going through. And He goes before God the Father and kind of explains it to him, if you want to use it in terminology that we can understand. I mean, God knows what you're going through, folks. And we're to do this on behalf of others. I mean, how often do we take it so strongly what someone else is going through that we don't have words for it, and that the Holy Spirit needs to intercede for us? Like I say, I think we're beginning to see that we're pretty selfish people, aren't we? We pray for ourselves or those that we care about the most, our children, our grandchildren, our parents, or, you know, whatever, those close. But this is talking everyone. He says petitions, prayers, and intercessions, thanksgivings for everyone. Thanksgiving, great. It's an attitude of gratefulness. You know, sometimes it's really hard to be grateful in the midst of a storm, isn't it? I mean, things are going wrong. Maybe it's health, maybe it's money, maybe, you know, whatever. Maybe it's some relationship. Things are not right, and it's hard to be grateful. But the Bible says we ought to be grateful. Not that we're going through this awesome, terrible circumstance, but there's much to be grateful for in the midst of the circumstance. And do you really come to grips with God doesn't really owe you anything? Think about it. What does God really owe you? He already gave his son for you that you may have eternal life. Can he show his love in any greater way than that? I don't think so. Now, does he want to bless you? Does he still get involved in our lives? Absolutely he does. Praise God. But we got to be grateful people. And you know, one of the things I think is really hurting our country is we're not a grateful country. Kind of a proud, prideful country, really. And we need to be grateful. We need to be thankful. Pray for all. In petitions, prayer, intercession, and thanksgiving. For everyone. Everyone. You know, what did Jesus say? He said, oh, you pray for your friends and your family? Well, you know, you love them? Yeah. Well, even the lost love those. You know, even the world does that. He says, I tell you, pray for your enemies. Pray for those that despitefully use you. And that's a whole other thing, isn't it? The person that's trying to hurt you. The person that's in authority, whether it be all the way up to the president or right down to your boss on the job. And they're not treating you right. You need to pray for them. And pray for them earnestly. And beg. And worship. With thanksgiving. With a grateful heart. That's a whole other level, isn't it? That's a whole other level. And then he gets really, you know, you think that's hard. Now, verse 2, pray for the government. For kings and all those who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all good godliness and dignity. Now, you know, put yourself, you know, I always tell you guys this. Don't just read it and then go, okay, that's what it says. Put yourself in Paul. This is Paul writing. Who was in charge of Rome? Nero. One of the most wicked, evil men ever. That's who was emperor of Rome at this time. And he says, pray for these that are in authority so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life. Now, I don't know if the Christians were really that tranquil and that quiet during Nero's time, okay? In all godliness and dignity. But, you know, here's the thing. Here's the thing. Think what it would be like with no government at all. No laws. No rules. No police department. No structure. You know, we just got through in the men's Bible study, we just got through, just finished the book of Judges. Because there was no king. And it says in there, everyone was always doing what was right in their own eyes. And that's what it would be, wouldn't it? If we had no government, if we had no structure, you would just do what you thought was right. I'd do what I thought was right. Your neighbor's going to do what they think is right. It would be, the word anarchy is the word. And, you know, government is good. Even if it's been twisted some by evil, it's still good. God created government. Bible tells us that. You know, God's created a lot of things that are good. Created marriage. Created intimacy between a man and a woman. But the devil's been at work twisting that around, hasn't he? He twists that around. He twists government around. But that doesn't mean it's not good. It just means that, guess what? We have an adversary. It's trying to harm us. But think about what it would be like with no government. Bad is better than none, folks. Bad's better than none. And there can be no tranquil and quiet life in the midst of anarchy. You'd be constantly on guard every second, wouldn't you? You know, it's interesting about prayer. You know, our government has chaplains and stuff, even to this day, even as anti-Christian, as anti-God as it has become. But we still have chaplains in the Senate and the House and in the executive branch. You know, there's chaplains, and one of them, not that long ago, there's a Senate chaplain. I find this interesting. He was asked if he prayed for the senators. And you know what his reply was? I've looked at the senators. I pray for the country. But you know what? We're supposed to pray for the senators. I mean, yeah, pray for the country, of course. But you know what? The country doesn't have a soul that's going to heaven or hell. The senators do. Because they're people. And the congressmen do. And the cabinet officials do. And the president and the vice president do. Because we kind of lose sight of the bigger picture, don't we? We kind of do that. Please God. We're to pray for all. We're to pray for the government. We're to please God. You know, there's nothing better than pleasing God. It's a wonderful thing to please God. You know, it's kind of like even as a parent-child relationship. When if your child has an attitude, I don't know how many of us experience this, maybe not many, where the child really wants to please the parent. I see a lot of people going like, never happened in our house. But it is so cool when it happens. I mean, you know, I wish it would happen a lot more, but you know, it does happen. And you know, we gotta get to where we're trying to please our Heavenly Father. And how do you please Him? Well, you do what He asks. And you know, what did Jesus say? He says, my burdens are not heavy. He says, just obey me. Just do what I ask. Share the gospel. It's not that hard, really. Love one another. Forgive. Pray for one another. Those aren't really hard to do. Our problem is, guess what, folks? If we get really honest with ourselves, we don't want to do it. I don't want to forgive that person. They did me wrong. They don't deserve to be let off the hook. Well, you know what? You don't deserve to be let off the hook. But you were when you asked Christ to be your Savior. You were just let off the hook. So who are we? Who are we not to do what has been done for us? Please God. Praying like this pleases God. He says in verse 3 and 4, this is good. What is good? Prayer, petitions, intercessions, thanksgiving for everyone and for government and all those things. He says this is good because it pleases God our Savior. Who what? And here we come to the reason. Who wants everyone to be saved? And to come to the knowledge of the truth. Because see, people are out there dying because they don't have knowledge of the truth. They're believing a lie. They believe there's not a heaven. You know, there's people out there that just think this is it. This is all there is. You're born. Go for all you can get while you're alive because you're going to die and it's over. Well, that's not truth, folks. That's not the reality of it. The reality is we are going to last forever. And you're going to spend eternity somewhere. That's the truth. And it says it pleases God when we pray like this. Because why? He wants everyone to be saved. And guess what? He wants you to be that vessel that he uses to accomplish that. Now, none of us is going to save the world. And God's not asking us to. God just says, share. When I bring someone across your path, share. And you know what? That pleases God. Because he wants everyone to be saved. Now, whether they choose, you know, they have free will. They can accept what we say, or they can reject what we say. They can accept the Bible, or they can reject the Bible. That's not on you. It's not your responsibility. You don't save them. You don't decide for them. You just share. And pray for them. This is what pleases God. You know, we're supposed to esteem, Bible says in Philippians, everyone else better than us. That is quite a concept. It says esteem others better than yourself. Now, there's certain people that it's pretty easy to do that, huh? And then there's other people, I'm better than them. That's just what we say. Let's just be real. God says, esteem everyone better than you. It doesn't sound like God's much into self-esteem, does it? Says esteem everyone else better than you. God's not into self-esteem. God's into value, folks. You are valuable. And it has nothing to do with how good you are or how talented you are. It has to do with the fact that he loves you and you're created in his image. And he wants the best for you, like a loving father loves his children. He wants the best for them. And you place great value on your children, don't you? Man, you'll do anything for them. You want to make them, you want to have a great life, and you protect them, and you. Well, God, he looks at you. You're his children. Praying like this pleases God. He wants everyone to be saved. He wants everyone to understand what real truth is. And you know what? If you have this, you have real truth. You know, what's the big topic a lot today? Fake news, right? Fake news. Used to be you'd watch it and you would just assume it's true. You know, it's correct. I don't know where, you know, everything now is an editorial. It's not reporting anymore. What's reporting? You go somewhere, you see it, you report what happened. You don't make a judgment on it. You report what happened. Now it's all editorial. Well, I went there and I'm going to tell you what I think I got out of it and how, from my point of view, instead of just reporting truth. That's where we've gone. But God wants everyone to come to the knowledge of the truth. This is the truth, folks. How well do you know it? The truth. He wants everyone to know it. He wants everyone to accept Christ as their Savior. Pray for the freedom to share the gospel. That's really what it's about. You know, I don't mean the freedom. We do have the freedom in this country to share. I'm talking about, do you ever, God's laying it on your heart to share and you don't feel like you're free to do it because your fear, whatever? That's what I'm talking about. Pray that you will feel free to share truth with who God brings across your path. could be a coworker, could be the lady at the market, could be the guy at the gas station, whatever. Who did God bring across your path? And then that thought comes in your head, I ought to share something with him. Where'd that come from? Huh? Didn't come from the devil. Yeah, just something to be thinking about. 5 and 6, proclaim Christ. We are to pray for all. We're to pray for the government. We're to please God. We are to proclaim Christ. Because he says, God wants everyone to be saved. Come to a knowledge of the truth. And what is the truth? 5 and 6, for there is one God. There is one mediator between God and humanity, and that's Christ Jesus, himself human, who gave himself a ransom for all, a testimony at the proper time. Listen, this meant a lot. This doesn't mean as much to us as it did back in Paul's day because of our culture. He says, there is one God. Do you understand? He's writing in the midst of the Roman Empire. There were many gods. There were many gods. You had, all the Roman gods. That's what the planets are named for. Jupiter and Saturn and all these were all Roman, Mars. Those are all Roman gods. They had a ton of gods. And then you had the Greek gods and you had the Egyptian gods. I mean, there's gods all over the place. And so, Paul's declared, here's the truth. The truth is there's only one God. And that's Yahweh. The one true creator God. Today we don't really bow down to Jupiter or Mars or Apollo or whatever, but we have our gods. Entertainment, power, prestige, wealth, pleasure. That's the gods of America. A lot of people spend a lot of money pursuing these things, putting a lot of energy into it. That's the biggest thing in their life. One God, the Holy God. One mediator. We have one mediator between God and humanity, and that's Christ Jesus. Think about this. The fact that we need a mediator, why do you have a mediator? Because there's a problem, right? You don't need mediators when there's no problems. But now you got one person here, one person here. They don't get along. Got to have a mediator. Well, guess what? We got a holy God that cannot tolerate sin. And then we got us. Sinful people, right? Everybody here is a sinner, right? Nobody, anybody here not a sinner? Okay, that's good. That's good. Honesty is very good. One mediator. There's a problem. There has to be a way to reconcile sinful man to holy God. And, and he says there's only one. Because you see, again, think about the times that they lived in. He's writing, and there's the Jewish religion is out there, and they had a ton of mediators. Say, what are you talking about? Talk about the priests. Ever since Moses instituted, they built the tabernacle, right? And you had the Holy of Holies, and that's where God resided. Then you had the regular temple, and every year you'd have this priest come in there, and they had a whole bunch of priests. They rotated. And once a year, a particular priest would go in there, make sacrifice first for himself because he was unclean. Then he would go in there, hopefully as a clean person, and not perfect but clean, and go before God on behalf of the nation. Okay, and they had to do this every single year, and it was always a different guy, and it lasted for how long? From Moses all the way to Jesus' day. Couple thousand years. They're all these different priests. And now Paul says, there's only one mediator now. Remember what happened at the crucifixion? When Jesus died, he gave up his ghost. He said, it is finished. And there was an earthquake and the temple, They had the Holy of Holies, right? They had the curtain that the priest could only go through, and the Bible says it tore from top to bottom. Why? Because now we don't need that. We don't need that priestly setup anymore. We have the one great high priest, Jesus Christ. And we go direct. We don't have to go through a man. You know, you don't go through me. You know, a lot of people, they say, oh, pastor, you pray. You're like, I got a better connection to God than you. Look, I'm just a sinful guy too. Okay? Your prayer's as good as mine. Because your mediator is not me or anybody else. Your mediator is Jesus Christ. And if you've asked Jesus to forgive you and save you, then you have the Holy Spirit and you have just as good access to God as I do. Now, there is power in prayer and, you know, in community. You know, Bible says where two or more are gathered in my name, I'll be present with you. Yes, you know, and there's much in the Bible about corporate prayer, much in the Bible about praying. You know, we just read a passage about it. But the bottom line is there's only one mediator. That's Jesus Christ. That's all we need. And for those thousands of years, they had all those different priests. But you know what? For 2,000 years now, we've only had one, because he raised from the dead in victory, and he sits at the right hand of God, and we don't need anyone else. He's our eternal priest, and he goes before us. Praise God. Have you got something to be grateful for? Absolutely. And it says, we have one mediator between God and humanity, Christ Jesus, himself human. I was talking about this morning. We were talking about Jesus. And he's 100% man, but he's also 100% God. And don't ask me to explain that, because it's a faith thing. It's a faith thing. But the Bible tells us, and you know, and that's why we can go to him. That's why we can know that our God is not disconnected from us, because anything that you have gone through, any pain that you have felt, Jesus Christ has felt that pain. Have you ever been betrayed by a friend? Jesus was. You ever felt physical pain? Jesus has. He's been beaten. You ever felt left alone? Jesus has. You know, Jesus knows exactly how you feel. And it is a great comfort to me to know that my God understands me. Not because he's kind of above and sees me, but because he actually experienced what I have experienced. That makes all the difference, folks. We don't have a God that doesn't understand us. We have a God that became us. To me, it is just the most marvelous thing. I still can't get over it. That the God of the universe, the Creator God, actually became one of his creation. He became a person and lived among men and women and children. And under government, and, you know, everything we go through, you know, he had to pay taxes. Now, he had unique ways of paying them. You know, go catch a fish. Oh, there's a gold coin. Okay, go pay the taxes. I wish I could do that, you know. Doesn't happen. But, you know, he did the things, he went through the things we go through. He understands. You know, he went through the death of close friend, you know, when Lazarus died. That was a close friend, and Jesus wept. He knows sorrow. He knows what loss feels like. God became a person that he could connect totally with his creation. The crown of his creation, by the way, people. You realize, he created the universe and all that. You know how much he loves you? He created all the universe just for you. Think about it. Created the sun, the moon, the stars, the earth, the grass, the plants, the animals, the mountains, streams. You know, Yosemite, you know, go to Yosemite, go to the Grand Canyon, you know, go wherever. And he created all that stuff. And then he created Adam and Eve, set them in the garden, and said, this is all yours. You're special, folks. People are God's crowning achievement, if you will. And he loves us so much that when there was sin and it separated, he gave himself a ransom. He himself did it. Because you know why? You couldn't pay it, and neither could I. We can't pay it off. It took Jesus Christ to pay it off. That was the whole point of the temple and the sacrifice. They always had to have what? A blemish-free lamb. It had to be as the best one, the one without blemish, the one without fault, had to be killed. The blood had to be spilled to pay the price for sin. And it was symbolic. And that's why Jesus was called the Lamb of God. You know, we hear that all the time. That had real significance for these people. Because, you know what? I've never slaughtered a lamb, but these guys did it all the time. They knew what it was about. And we hear the Lamb of God, and we get this little picture of this little sheep frolicking in the meadow or something. You know? Because, you know what? I don't make a habit of grabbing a sheep by the head and pulling it back and slitting its throat and letting the blood run all over the altar. And that's what they did. It rammed home the seriousness of our sin. And we've kind of been insulated from that. So we see these terms and they don't mean as much. But he gave himself a ransom for all. That's why we're to pray for all. He died for all. There is only one mediator that can connect man to God, and that is the God-man, Jesus Christ. A ransom for all. A testimony at the proper time. You know, a lot of people have said, why did he come back in Rome? Why didn't he come some other time? I mean, just think how popular. You think about if Jesus had come today with TV and satellite, and man, there would have been some serious coverage, right? Especially when he went in the temple and turned over all the tables. He probably got arrested and, you know, who knows what. But, I mean, but no, he chose the perfect time. It's not for us to question. It's not for us to reason. He came at the right time. A testimony at the proper time. And you know what? When you have those random acts, when those random meetings with people that need to hear truth, we're supposed to have a testimony at the proper time as well. Because we have the words that are life to people. We have the words that are life. You know, Jesus himself said what? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Period. There's only one way. It's through Jesus Christ. There's no other way to God. You know, the Bible says in another place, there's a wide gate and a narrow gate. And it says many. Many go through the wide gate to destruction. But there's a narrow gate to life, and it says, few be that find it. But we know the way, don't we? We know the way. We know the way. And we can show someone else the way. Which kind of leads to the last point. Preach the truth in faith. We're to pray for everyone, pray for the government, please God by praying and understanding what truth is, and proclaim Christ, preach the truth in faith. He says, for this, all this, this prayer, this mediator, all these things. He says, for this, I was appointed a herald. What did a herald do? You know, they had a trumpet. You know, when there was to be this great, you know, the king says, I've got a, you know, this law that I want everyone to know about, or this thing that I've proclaimed something, I want everyone to know about it. And these guys would come out with these trumpets and ta-da! I could be the greatest preacher in the world and be up here and you guys are just all into it. And some guy could come in the back door and go, ta-da! And everybody would look, right? Right in the middle of what I'm saying. Everybody, what was that? You know? He says, I was appointed a herald. And then he said, a herald, and he says, and I'm telling the truth. I'm not lying. I think it's funny Paul put that in there. Hey, look, okay, you know, I'm a herald. And, you know, you all are looking at me like, yeah, really, I'm telling you the truth. I am, you know. I think it's funny he put it in there. But a herald, he's got something to say. And we got to tell people, you know, we got something to say. And I've counseled people and I've talked to people. People come to me and sometimes I just talk to them. And, you know, they're going through some stuff and I know, you know, they're not really leaning on God. They're just kind of leaning on themselves. And I'll say, has God got your attention? You know, God wants your attention. I had one particular guy that I worked with for a while, actually. And he was just not willing to let go of his perspective. You know, that little child's verse in Proverbs, you know, trust the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean in your own understanding. You know, that's in there for a reason. It's because, you know what, we tend to lean on our own understanding, don't we? We tend to kind of figure it out our way. And I asked him one time, I said, what do you got to lose before God gets your attention? You've already lost your wife. You've lost your daughter. You're on the verge, you've lost your health. You're on the verge of losing your job. What is it going to take for God to get your attention? Because you just ignore the stuff I'm telling him, you know, it's not like I'm some great counselor. I'm not. I just give you Bible. The Bible's the great counselor. You know, and I give people truth out of the Bible, maybe help them understand how it applies to their life, but it's the Word of God that has the power. You know, it's not me. And I said, I've given you all this truth. When are you going to start doing it? We got to preach the truth in faith. In other words, if you're sharing truth, you better believe it yourself. You ever hear somebody, you know, it was kind of like, you know, I worked in the repair business for a lot of years and we were supposed to sell maintenance agreements. I didn't believe in them. No, you don't either. But it was part of our thing, you know, that we were graded on, you know, they kept stats and I was always like, you know, terrible. You know, in fact, I hardly ever sold one unless a customer just asked me for it, you know. But, you know why? It's because I didn't believe in it. Now, today, I more believe in them more today than I did then, because back then the product was less complicated. And the repair business was a lot more affordable than it is now. And so now it's almost the opposite. Now it's almost like you need to have this because guess what? We're trained on it and half the time we can't fix it. Okay? So, you know, so we'll throw parts at it. And if you got a contract, that's no problem, right? We can just keep throwing parts at it. But if you're paying for it, it can get ugly in a hurry. And, but all that to say, I was told to sell a product that I really didn't believe in. And so I wasn't a very good salesman. And you know, God has a bunch of truth in here. Now, every one of us would say we believe it all. But I guarantee you, every one of us has things in here. There's things in here that we really don't want to do. Because it, you know, well, God, you know, you, I know your word says this, but, you know, you don't really understand this situation that I'm in. You know, yeah, I do. God says, yeah, I do, because I sent my son, and he lived, and he went through everything without sin. See, that's the kicker. He went through everything. He was tempted in every way, yet without sin, the Bible tells us. And so we have to preach the truth, but we have to believe what we're saying. Because, you know, people figure it out real quick if you're really not, like, totally on board. Hey, you should forgive. Yeah, you should, you know, you really should forgive. But, you know, I got some areas in my life I haven't really forgiven anybody for. So how much do I really believe that? Because you know what I always say, you do what you believe. You do what you believe. You can say you believe. You ever tell somebody else, go ahead, sit in the chair, it's okay, but you won't sit in that chair? Now, of course, if you're lighter than me, it might be safe for you. I have broken a few chairs in my day. But if I didn't believe that chair would hold me, I would not sit in it. Right? You do what you believe. Preach the truth in faith. We are to herald the truth to all. This requires faith. You know, we got to have faith. You know, sometimes you talk to people and you're like, wow, you know, there's no way. God, you really want me to talk to that guy? There's no way. You know, just look at him. Just look at him. There's no way he's going to listen to me. Where's your faith? You know, we just had a wedding here yesterday, and it was a young girl that had a, you know, a history, as we all do, but, you know, kind of tough. Left home young, living on the streets, making a lot of bad decisions. And the guy, you know, he'd been in prison, in and out of prison. And he looks rough, man. He looks rough. You know, big tattoos all over his head and, you know, whatever. And you look at somebody, and if you just looked at him on the street, you'd be like, that's the last guy I'm talking about God to. I'm just being real. Just being serious. You know, just saying it like it is. You know, and so here they want to get married, and you know, so I'm talking with them, and they had actually gone and gotten married at the courthouse, and I sit and I just started talking with them, and the guy says, you know what, I'm just really tired. I've been doing this stuff. I've been in and out of prison like 5 times or whatever it was. And he goes, I'm just really tired. You know, the world will tire you out. It will beat you up. And he says, I'm just ready to do things differently. And he had been talked to before, but I asked him, I said, you know, because I'm there to do marriage counseling. Well, I don't do any counseling until I find out what the spiritual situation is. And I just said, you know the Lord is your Savior? And he goes, well, I go, you want to know? Yeah, I do. So the first counseling session, which, gosh, I was there like 4 hours, 5 hours. But we spent the first 2 hours just talking about salvation. Had nothing to do with marriage, had nothing to do with, you know. And you know what? That that guy, that rough, tough-looking guy, prayed to accept Christ, and, you know, he's wiping his eyes. You know? You got to have faith. It's not you that convinces them. It's God in their heart, and it doesn't matter whether you think or what you think. That is someone God sent his son to die for. And we got to remember that. And they, you know, and they had decided, you know what? Yeah, we're married, but we want to get married before God. Now, they got a road to go down? Yeah, they do. I mean, it ain't, you know. But you know what? It was a really cool, really nice ceremony we had yesterday. And, you know, I pray that they make it. And I told them, I go, look, you know, you guys need to get baptized. So I think they're going to. And so God loves them. And God wants to do mighty things through them. And my only part is I gave them truth. You know? I just give them what God already had written down. And I believe that God could do something in their life. And I do believe He can and will. And it doesn't get any better than that, folks. It's the best. It's the best. Without faith, you can become discouraged. Yeah, with faith, you can become discouraged, for that matter. Because you know what? The world just beats down on you. That's why it's so important to have our fellowship, you know, have our, you know, encouragement one to another, you know, getting involved with people, getting to know them, understand what path they're on. Not condemning or not passing judgment, just getting to know them and then praying for them. Begging God for them. Worshiping God in their name. Because that's what's really going to change. Every time there's an election, people hope for change, right? Whether they say it's about change or not. But you know what? No matter what goes on in our country, no matter what manner of leadership, God's mandate for His church remains unchanged. Doesn't it? You know, God doesn't go, oh my goodness, you know, Trump's president now. Or, oh my goodness, Obama's president now. I got to change my word. Doesn't do that, does he? Nero's in charge. God doesn't change His word. Right? It doesn't change. I take great comfort in that. I don't know, you live with somebody, you know, some days they're easier to get along with than others, huh? We got that saying, right? Got up on the right, wrong side of the bed. You know, what happened with you, man? You have a bad night, you know? Isn't it great to know God doesn't have like a bad day? Isn't it great to know that what was true today is true tomorrow? Isn't that great? What you read about 2,000 years ago, it's still valid today? Isn't that good? You don't have to wake up and guess, you know, what kind of God you got today? Kind of feel out the situation? No, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Praise God. I mean, in the midst of all this inconsistency, we have one thing that is truly consistent, and that is our God. Praise God for that. Pray for everyone, and in faith, proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, for that is the source of real, permanent change. That's where the change really is. For there's only one God and one mediator. That's Jesus Christ. I'm going to have an invitation. maybe someone here today that, you know, we're talking about all this, and you may have come to realize that, you know, I can't pray for anybody. I need to pray for myself because I don't even know this God you're talking about. There may be someone here that would say, I have never asked God to forgive me. I've never trusted in Jesus Christ, what he did on the cross for my sin. I've never done that. There may be someone like that here. I want you to consider what God is laying on your heart right now. Because it's God that lays it on your heart, not me. I mean, I may say some words and that may make you think or something, but God is what moves on your heart. And you listen to him. You listen to him. For the rest of us, what's your prayer life like? Have you ever begged to God on somebody else's behalf? Have you ever gone before God in a worshipful way on someone else's behalf? Maybe someone you've never even met, but because just like we're called to pray for the government, I have not met anybody at the state level personally. You know, you see them on TV, but or the national personally. I've seen some local people. But are you ever moved to pray for them in a real way? We're quick to complain about what's not right with our country, but how much time do we spend praying? Praying for the people. Because it's the people that God's interested in. We can have every head bowed, every eye closed. Please. Anybody here today would say, Brother Mike, I've never asked Jesus to forgive me. I've never trusted in Christ as my Savior. I've never just allowed him to come into my heart. Anybody like that? I just want to pray for you. I'm not going to call you out by name or anything like that. I just want to pray for you. For the rest of us, how many would just say, let me just keep it simple. How many would say, I've been challenged about my prayer life today. God is pricking my heart. I've been challenged. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. How many would say, I need to have a little more faith about sharing the gospel with others. I just need to, you know, be a little bolder. Need to let God control me. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. A lot of hands there. Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord God in heaven, I pray, Lord, that indeed everyone here has a knowledge of you, that you are their God, and that they've trusted in Christ to pave their way to heaven, Lord. I pray that that's true. But if there's any that hasn't, Lord, I pray they'd come forward and just let me talk with them and show them what the Word of God has to say about that. For the rest of us, Lord, I pray indeed that our prayer life, that we would see the necessity of it the way God does. And that we would get serious about praying, about witnessing, about sharing truth with whoever it is you bring across our path, Lord. That if you initiate the conversation, Lord, we'll just open our mouth and just share something, a brief testimony about what you did in our life. And then trust you for what happens. Lord, give us that boldness. Give us that faith that we need to do that. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, as Kathy plays, this time is for you. Whatever God has put on your heart, you just go to him and deal with God. That's what this time's about. You deal with God. You pray and ask him to show you what it is that he would have you to do. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank you for your word, this word of truth that never changes, Lord God. We praise you for who you are, that you never change, that you are so consistent. Lord God, help us to be consistent as well and diligent, Lord, in sharing your truth with others and in praying for others, Lord, that they too may come to know you in a personal way. We thank you and praise you for your word, for your truth, and for your Son. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.